You want to live a life on fire and on mission. You want to be filled with such conviction and drive that you stop caring about what anyone thinks. You want to face each day alive, authentic, and fully present in every moment. With your wife, with your kids, on the street, at work. You want to bring yourself to the table and to stop bringing the watered-down, nice, what-everyone-wants version of you. You want that self to be a man who is burning in passion for Jesus, unafraid to bring his kingdom to anyone in your path, no matter what it costs you. You want to love the one in front of you without fear, without needing love back, and without reserve. You want to husband well. You want to father well. You want to shepherd your life well. You want to be a safe pillar for anybody around you. You want to experience God for real, to not just believe, but to know that he's got you and that he'll show up on your behalf, that he'll show up through you. You want to get to the end of your race and say, yep, I gave it everything. Jesus, you know I'm all in. And you want to know just how to get there. Welcome to Man Warrior King. I'm your host, Matt Halleck. Congratulations. You're among the violent taking the kingdom by force. You're among the chosen answering the call to rise above yourself. You're in the forge being stripped down and strengthened, and you will rise stronger, solid, unshakable. You are a man. You're a warrior. You are a king. I want to take a quick moment before we jump into the podcast episode for today to announce to you what I'm super excited about, which is the opening of the ranks of Adullam. If you're not familiar with what it is, it's going to be a 12-week group transformation initiative where we will together, you and me together, we will be going after the life change transformation that so many men have already been encouraged by, built up by, whatever you want to call it, through the DNA of a man. We are going to take the content of the DNA of a man and we are going to go deeper, farther, and wider with it. We are going to expand our borders as we develop kingdom manhood within us. This is going to be the most powerful 12 weeks of many men's lives. And I want it to be the most powerful 12 weeks of your life. I want it to be crucial in your transformation. I want it to be crucial in you rebuilding your marriage. I want it to be crucial in you finding your kingdom mission on the earth so that you can stop living small, stop living stuck, stop living apologetic. Over these 12 weeks, we're going to be having live meetings together, and you're going to be getting video recording trainings from me, and you're going to have fellowship and interaction with other men on the same path as you. This could really be a turning point in your life, and I want you to be a part of it. Until November 4th, we have early bird registration pricing. After that, the price is going to go up by $300. So this is really incredible value for the low price that you can get it up until November 4th. All right. If you want to look at more info about it and read up all about it, you can head to manwarriorking.com/Adullam. That's Adullam. And I'm also going to put the link in the show notes here. All right. So join me, join the other brothers, and we will see you soon. Here's the podcast episode for today. Well, good morning and welcome to Warrior King Podcast. I am your host, Matt Halleck. And today I'm excited to talk with you about one of the most, I think, significant stories in the entire Old Testament, especially for us men who are wanting to take action in our lives. We are learning to stand up and get out of the stuckness, out of the living small and into living life big, on fire, bold, audacious. Okay, because these are actual kingdom character traits. Not the living small, not the false humility, not the woe is me, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. That is not kingdom. Kingdom says, Oh, there's a problem? I'll solve it. You know why? Because heaven lives inside of me. That's kingdom. But we so often get stuck. We get trapped. We get trapped inside the walls of our own mind. Meanwhile, Jesus is standing beyond those walls, beckoning us to come to him. So that's what we're talking about today. All right. And it is coming out of the book of Samuel. This is where we are going to be living for the next several days. I'm going to be coming at you for the next several days in a row, because this is all leading up to the release of the 12-week transformation program called the Ranks of Adullam. And in 7 days, that registration price is going up. So we are going to be living in this realm of David and the mighty men and Saul and everybody around them, because there is so much here for us men to know, to learn, to become transformed by. So today, gentlemen, today we're looking at 1 Samuel chapter 14. And this is where we find Saul's son, Jonathan. Saul, if you remember, was the bad king of Israel. All right? He was the one who God basically said, hey, here's the first king that I'm giving you guys. Saul fails. God says, nope, you're not going to be king anymore. And it eventually gives the kingdom to David. All right, but in between that time, this story comes where we find that Israel is besieged by the Philistines. Not only that, they're overrun by them. Not only that, the people of Israel don't have any weapons anymore. The Philistines had like taken all their weapons away and prevented them from being able to go and like bring their farm tools to blacksmiths to get them sharpened to turn them into weapons. The Bible like lays this out for us in chapter 13. All right, so chapter 14, we come where Saul and his army and Jonathan, Saul's son, are encamped, figuring out what the heck are we going to do against these Philistines. The problem is that the people of Israel don't have weapons, and it says specifically that only Saul and Jonathan do. All right? So Saul is basically sitting around wondering what the heck to do. And his son, Jonathan, in the beginning of chapter 14, he says to his armor bearer, hey, come on, let's go over to the Philistine camp on the other side. But Jonathan didn't tell his father. So Jonathan has this idea, and I have to wonder, the Bible doesn't say anything about it other than the fact that it does later show us how Jonathan has more allegiance to David than to his own dad. All right, so we know that about him, but I have to wonder if Jonathan knows his dad's character, and if he knows that his dad doesn't have the grit, the drive, the faith to push forward when all the tables are turned against him. And it reminds me of when Jesus was on the earth and he moved people out of the room sometimes before he performed a healing miracle. And I wonder if it's because he's saying, hey, I understand how you're feeling, people, but I need you out of here because I have a mission to bring healing, and right now your lack of faith, your self-absorbed emotionalism is getting in the way of what the Father wants to do. And I wonder if Jonathan is thinking the same way, where he's like, listen, we have got to take care of these enemies, and I'm not going to tell my dad about it because who knows what he's going to do to get in the way. And if you listened to the last podcast episode for a couple episodes ago, I believe it was episode 39, about the nice guy syndrome and how King Saul was the epitome of a nice guy. If you listen to that, you'll understand that Saul did not operate in character. He did not operate according to principle and conviction. He was always doing the nice thing, trying to make people happy. And Jonathan sees a problem to be solved, a job to be done, and he's not going to waste his time with Saul's inaction and weakness of character. So Jonathan says to his armor bearer, let's go over, you and me, just the two of us. All right, this is a bad battle plan. This is not a good idea. It's irresponsible. Moreover, Jonathan doesn't have a word from the Lord to fall back on. He doesn't have a vision. He doesn't have a dream. He doesn't have an angelic visitation. He has none of those things. He sees a problem. He has some understanding of the ways and the character and the heart of God, and he's going to take action based on that. Can you relate to this, where you don't do a thing because God hasn't specifically told you to do it? Can you relate to that? And now I'm not saying, please do not hear me say that it doesn't matter what God says or his voice doesn't matter at all. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that we too often sit around and wait for the supernatural visitation before we do anything with our lives. We sit around and wait for God to send an angel to us, for Jesus to walk through our door and speak with us before we do anything. And I'm telling you, those things are great, and I'm all for them. I am not in any way against that at all. I want more. But what I am against is us sitting around and doing nothing because we think that God hasn't chosen us. We think that we don't have to do anything because he's chosen everybody else. Hey, what's up, Gary? I see that. Thank you for grabbing the book, man. I'm glad that it is blessing you. Glad it's blessing you. Thanks for saying hi, my brother. See, look here. Jonathan has no voice of God that he's going off of, but he is taking action. Now, we, in our age, we have the benefit of the Spirit to be with us, and we can hear his voice. There are promises all over the place. We can hear his voice. So we have no excuse for inaction, because even in Jonathan not hearing his voice, he still said, you know what, I'm going to do something about this. And we've got to stop using God's lack of supernatural encounter as an excuse for our lack of action and obedience. Because at the bottom line, at the very least, we all have the Great Commission. We have all heard that voice, go and make disciples. There is nobody exempt from that. We have all heard the voice of Jesus saying, hey, these signs are going to follow those who believe. They're going to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will cast out demons. We've all heard that voice. There is no excuse. So Jonathan takes action and he says to his armor bearer, let's go. So they go, they move their location. And he says again to his armor bearer, come, let's go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised Philistines. And he says, it may be. He doesn't even know for sure. He just says, it may be that the Lord will work for us. For nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or few. So he knows one thing for sure. He says, nothing can stop God from saving, not even small numbers if it's just the two of us. But what he doesn't know is whether or not God will in that moment. He says, it may be, but let's do this anyway, because as best as I know, this is in line with the heart of God. And listen to what his armor bearer says, and I want to challenge you to think about this for a moment. I want to challenge you with this idea that the voice of the armor bearer right here in 1 Samuel chapter 14 is actually the voice of the Holy Spirit to you. And he says, the armor bearer says to Jonathan, do all that is in your heart. Do as you wish. Behold, I am with you, heart and soul. What if, gentlemen, what if Jesus is speaking that to you? Now, I know this pushes on our religious buttons because we're like, wait, Jesus is letting me take the lead? Jesus is asking me what I think? Jesus is coming to me and saying to me, do everything that's in my heart? I thought I'm supposed to say that to him. I thought I'm supposed to surrender to him. And obviously, we are. But is it possible, gentlemen, that Psalm 37:4 is true? Where it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Is that possible? That if we are pursuing him and his presence with everything we've got, if we're seeking him so we can find him when we seek him with all our heart, then is it possible that he turns right back around and says, great, your heart is after me now. It's getting shaped, molded, transformed in the process. So those desires you have, those thoughts you have, that leading, that unction you have, act on it. Do whatever is in your heart to do. Behold, I am with you, heart and soul. That sounds like the voice of God to me. Jesus says he would never leave us or forsake us. In Jeremiah, God says that I've planted you in this land for your good with all my heart and all my soul. So what if God is speaking this to us today as an individual, you, as an individual man? What if he is telling you that thing that's in your heart to do? You're sitting around and waiting for the supernatural visitation, and until that comes, you're not going to do anything on it. But what if he's saying, I'm going to visit you as you go. I'm going to visit you in the going. Do what's in your heart. Stop sitting around and taking no action. You feel like you're not worthy. You feel like things aren't put together in your life enough. You think that you're not cut out to stop and pray for somebody on the street and see Jesus heal them. You are wrong. You are wrong. You are the hands and feet of Jesus. You think you're not cut out to lead somebody to the presence of God? You are wrong. You are very wrong. If you are worth the blood of Jesus, then you are worth stopping to bring the kingdom to others. Then you are worth transforming your workplace into a realm of heaven where you show up every day and you bring the fire and the presence instead of just getting through because you're trying to make it to this mythical level where finally you'll be able to be used in ministry. I'm sorry, that's false. Jonathan sees a problem and he solves it. What problem is in your world to solve? You feel like you're not the man cut out to bring healing and health to your marriage? You're wrong. It's time to start taking action and stop sitting on the sidelines just hoping and wishing that God is going to bring about the healing without you getting in the game. I'm all in favor of the power of God doing miraculous transformations. But I know, in my marriage, he spoke to me. And he told me, Matt, I'm going to meet you on the battlefield, not on the sidelines. So get up and get in it. And you know what? God meets Jonathan. He doesn't tell him that it was a stupid idea, that it was a stupid plan. He doesn't abandon him to die. No, God meets Jonathan in the battle plan that Jonathan created all on his own. That was a terrible battle plan. God meets him.
He routs the Philistines, so much so that the camped people of Israel on the other side of the ravine can hear the tumult. They can hear the chaos. And Jonathan's single risky act of faith motivated all these other guys who were sleeping, who were lazy, who were afraid, who were doubting. He motivated all of them to get up off of their butts and go get in the battle. And more than that, Jonathan's single act of crazy faith motivated the traitors, the ones who had left Israelites and joined the Philistines. They came back and they fought against the Philistines. And more than that, the people who had run away and were hiding in caves came out of hiding and said, "Oh, there's hope. I'm going to go fight." So you, this is for you. You have the ability you have within you, because the kingdom lives inside of you, the ability to turn traitors back to the Father. You've got the ability to get the lost and the fearful, the ones who are in doubt and broken down, to get them to stand up and rise up and go fight again. That is you. That is you. But we've got to get out of our heads. We've got to get this stupid mind game that we all lose to. We've got to get that thing gone. So, gentlemen, Jonathan is our model. And Jesus commits himself to those who take action on his behalf in the earth. Will you do this? Will you join this? Will you live this way? And I just want to remind you, we've got a week left before the ranks of Adullam kicks up in price. It's going to go up significantly by $300. All right, so I want to encourage you, check it out right now while it's at its low price. We're going to take 12 weeks. We are going to become men like Jonathan. We're going to take the elements of the DNA of a man. We're going to take the content there that has been transforming so many men's lives, and we're going to go way farther than it. We're going to go way deeper than it goes. We are going to construct action plans. We are going to construct our manifesto for life. We are going to discover who we are to become the men that are strong and unshakable, that can be agents of healing and transformation in our world. We are going to go deep with this stuff, gentlemen. We're going to redeem our past. We are going to discover who we are in the present. We are going to determine, we are going to decide on who we will be in the future. We are going to start chasing after our goals. We are going to take action in walking in miracles and getting outside of our shell. We are going to choose a mountain to move. We are going to learn how to pray to move mountains. And we are going to learn how to be agents of healing in our marriage. We are going to become kingdom husbands whose wives can't help but want them. This is what's going to happen for 12 weeks, all right? It's called The Ranks of Adullam. That's why we're talking in the podcast right now about all of these different stories around David and his mighty men. Because the Cave of Adullam is where the men who were low, weak, in debt, bitter, in distress came. And they became the fiercest warriors the world has ever known. So I want to encourage you to check it out. You can go to manwarriorking.com/Adullam. You can also click the link in the description of this episode, and it'll take you there. Until next time, gentlemen, God bless you. Much love. We can do this. This is Matt Halleck signing off and thanking you again for being a part of the Man Warrior King community. If you want more, head over to manwarriorking.com. And please remember to take just a couple seconds to subscribe on iTunes and to leave a 5-star rating and a review so that more and more men can join us as we become awesome. You are a kingdom man. Go out, take more ground, push back darkness. Remember, you bring value into your home, your work, and your circle. You are not a taker, you are a giver. Abundance is your atmosphere.